who was an Israelite, came among them to announce the kingdom. And he was the king, and they refused him. Israel had undergone a long period of violent rejection of God. And God didn't ask much from them. You say, well, how did they violently reject God? They wouldn't worship him the way God wanted them to. And by the time that Jesus arrived, right after he was baptized, he went into the temple, made a scourge, and drove out all the money changers. He drove out all the people on the temple mound. What you doing, Bob? Okay. Oh, okay. I thought maybe you'd... something was going off up there. For those who are listening on a tape, this goes on all the time. And I've goofed up again. But when the Lord rejected, it was primarily because they had stopped worshiping him correctly. Most people have the idea that when you're on fire for the Lord, that you're out working for him diligently, constantly, and you're out there on fire for Jesus. And that's been drilled into our heads so much by so many different preachers over a long period of time that that's come to be preached just like that was the important thing. God didn't ask much of Israel. He just asked that they worship him in the temple, and they worship him in spirit and in truth. But by the time Jesus came, the temple worship had been turned into a religious edifice. People had changed the way that everything was supposed to be done. They didn't have a right attitude toward God in their hearts. The priest, the high priest, and all of the hierarchy in the temple had literally sold out. And they were taking bribes. They were getting a kickback on all the animals that were sold on the temple mound. And they had become totally materialistic. They were looking for a Messiah that didn't match the Word of God. They weren't looking for a Messiah to deliver them spiritually. They had corrupted the Word of God and were worshiping God to send a Messiah who would free them from the Roman yoke of bondage. They wanted a Messiah who would make them materially prosperous, make them wealthy. That's what's happened to the local church. So God turned to the local church. Jesus organized it during his earthly ministry. And we each one are a local, independent, visible body, a local temple. God hasn't asked a whole lot out of us. All this fiery evangelism that everybody keeps talking about and everybody keeps getting on fire for Jesus and trying to set the world on fire is something we created ourselves. It's not in the Bible. You say, oh, yes, it is. Show it to me. He said, go ye therefore, as you are going, make disciples. He didn't say get out there and put the high pressure on them. Go out there and get after them. You've studied the Bible, many of you. How many times did Paul admonish, chew out, say anything against the people because they didn't get out and witness? Because they weren't out continually knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus? You go in that Bible and you show it to me. You won't find it. What you will find is a man filled with the Spirit of God who wrote most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And what he was continually trying to get the people in the church to do was to live for Christ, to do good for Christ in their everyday walk of life, and to let their life be something that was shown to the community. That was a change that indicated they cared for people. Oh, yes, they witnessed. They told people about their Savior. But they didn't have campaigns. And they didn't go out knocking door to door in a fanatical way to get people to come to church. You say, well, they should have. Then how come Paul never jumped them for it? Then how come in all the things he jumped them for, in all the things he warned them about, in all the things he told them not to do, what did he keep on hammering on? Worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and letting God change your lifestyle, and letting God change you, and you becoming what you're supposed to be before God, so the community can see you're genuine and you're not a two-bit phony with a tinselly type of witnessing that only attracts those, and it doesn't attract anymore. It just doesn't attract people anymore. It's a whole lot easier to get out and get on fire for Jesus than it is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Concerning Israel, he said, "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit." Israel is forsaken and grieved in spirit. But they have not always been. And a wife of youth. God chose Israel, and Israel was his wife. And as long as they were worshiping God properly, then God was satisfied. What did he want people to do in the Negev, in the Sinai? He wanted them to come and worship him. He wanted them to come with hearts that loved him, that cared for him, and that reflected a change in their lives. He didn't ask them to run around and convert the Moabites, the Egyptians, everybody in creation. He just asked them to live for him. You say, no, Brother Michael Murray, you don't understand. Because this church does it, 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 this group does it, this group does it, this group does it. It has to be right. It doesn't have to be right unless the Bible indicates that's what we're supposed to do. If this church listens to the Word of God and the individual church members' lives change, then they become more like Christ and less like themselves, you'll see some genuine professions. You ever wonder why a preacher goes to a church and he gets a whole lot of conversions and everything's going just great, and then I say this reverently, all hell breaks loose, and pretty soon they vacated the pulpit and he's gone? Because you've got a bunch of new believers in Christ, and the idea that the church has is more additions, more additions, more additions, more additions, more additions, more additions. You tell me and show me. You claim to love the Lord. You show me in the Bible where Paul complimented a church on the number of additions they had had the previous year. He didn't just forget. He preached to them continually about walking in spirit and in truth. You think God's got to have your help and you've got to institute all these programs to do what God wants? All you have to do is learn to live for the Lord, to walk for the Lord, to let the Lord change the way you think and feel and perform. And that's what church growth is. It's growing in the spirit. The nation of Israel was the young wife of God. Before she rejected the son, she bore him through Mary. Since that time, he has been as a woman refused, she has, and grieved in spirit for some 2,000 years, as reported by Matthew. Throughout centuries, God just wanted them to obey the statutes that he gave them, the way he gave them, from a heart that wanted to do it the way he said, because they had faith and confidence that when he said to do something and they did it, that was good. And isn't that true? When God gives us something to do, tells us what we're supposed to do, and we do it, it can't be anything but good. But Israel turned her temple into a den of thieves. And I'm going to put it to you bluntly. Some of our missionary Baptist churches have forsaken the principle of obeying the statutes and commandments of God and have turned the church into a sideshow. Well, as long as I'm alive, you're either going to have to kill me or run me off, but this church is not going to be turned into a sideshow until I'm in my grave. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often will I have gathered thy children together, even as the hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." He said, "Behold, your house is left until you desolate." He didn't jump on them for not witnessing. He didn't jump on them for not running all over and converting all the Canaanites, Moabites, and the Ammonites, and the Hittites, and all the otherites. He didn't jump on them for that. You say, "Well, brother, they were supposed to." That's because preachers have told you that most of your life. If Israel had lived for God, if the Israeli people had grown spiritually for God, and if they had learned to love one another, then God would have been successful by His Spirit in letting others see His work in them. But people can't accept that today. You got to have the quick fix. You got to have a Mormon Tabernacle Choir. You got to have all these programs. You got to have all these directors. You got to have all these things going on in the church, and it's a sideshow. And we're trying to help God, and we're trying to do it by substituting Christian living, substituting for it programs and a zeal for God. You won't find one time in the Bible that any of the writers in the New Testament ever mentioned how much a church had grown. They'll tell you how many were added to the church at Jerusalem because there was preaching, and they said there were about 4,000 added. But that's it. And it wasn't because they went out all over creation. It was in response to the Word. That's why I started this broadcast. You want to reach out to the world? Reach out with the Word of God. You say, "Well, they may not hear it." If it's the Word of God, and God wants them to hear it, God will make a way for them to hear it. Do I witness people in my everyday walk of life? I sure do. But do I go door to door and knock on doors and tell people that they need to be saved and they need to do this and they need to do that and they're going to hell? No, I don't. Because the Holy Spirit is the same one who convicted me and led me to Christ. And a lot of this stuff we do is nothing but pure hype and palmed off as being of God, because it's something based on human endeavor and seeing how many souls have been saved. God ceased to dwell with His wife when she rejected the son she bore Him. And His dwelling place among them was declared to be spiritually desolate by His son. It was made physically desolate in 70 AD by the army of Titus, the Roman prince, and the nation of Israel was carried into captivity as prophesied by God's Son. And sure enough, it happened. Luke 21:24. "And they shall fall to the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." She's been forsaken as a wife of his youth. Israel has been a woman refused by her husband, a woman grieved and forsaken, since her husband allowed the Romans to destroy his house, temple, dwelling place among them. Seems like a long time since this event, but it's only been a moment to God. God tells us through Peter in 2 Peter 3:8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." I could have done what I saw all the other preachers do, and I could have turned this church into a sideshow. But the problem is, I know the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and I know what the Bible says. And I've got to answer at the judgment seat of Christ. It's easy to get people on drives and to get them to do all sorts of things and go door to door and push them out there. It's a lot easier than getting them to realize they need to change and their lives need to be conducted in such a way that people can see by their lives that they have Christ in them. You say, "Well, they see it when they come to our door knocking on it, and they just chatter, chatter, chatter and witness to us. They see we're on fire for Jesus." I wish that were true. You say, "Well, let me tell you this story, and let me tell you that story, and let me tell you another story." Show me in the Bible where Paul ever told people to get on fire for Jesus and get out there and go door to door. He never did. But, of course, he meant to, didn't he? He had an awful lot of epistles that he wrote, but he didn't say anything about it. But he did say an awful lot about changing lifestyle, changing attitude, repenting of your sins, growing in grace, growing to love God's word, letting it change your heart and your life. And just as Isaiah prophesied in the next verse, so did the Son say Israel would be restored when he returned. We covered Isaiah 54 and 6 just a minute ago. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. Just 2 days, 2,000 years, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Matthew 23, 38, 39. Behold, your house is left until you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me henceforth, but you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The fullness of the age of the Gentiles will be finished as the Lord returns with all the saints to end the last battle of this age, the battle of Armageddon, which is the Son's second advent, when he comes at the end with all the saints that he previously raptured. Israel will mourn and receive the Son. In Romans 11, 25, Paul says, for I would not, brethren, members of the church at Rome, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that will be at the end of the tribulation period when Christ returns. That ends the Gentile age, and Israel will be restored. Luke 21, 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is when the Lord returns. This is when heaven opens and they see him on his white horse. It's 7 o'clock. And it's 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. So I'm not going to do the last sheet. But I do want to talk to you about something. You've got the New Testament. You've got the four Gospels. Take time to look through them and see how many times Jesus jumped on the Jewish people because they weren't constantly out witnessing and telling people Messiah was coming. He didn't do it. You say, well, it's inferred. I don't think the Lord would infer something if it was that important. Did he mean for the nation of Israel to evangelize the world? Yes, he did. And Jonah went to Nineveh and preached to them. And the people of Nineveh repented. It made Jonah mad. Did Israel turn inward and not do what they were supposed to do? Yes, they did. Is it a church's job to evangelize and teach people the Word of God? Yes, it is. But the methodology that we used is to be biblically based. And we should teach and preach the word. That's why I do the broadcast. And in our everyday walk in this community, we should influence people. We should influence young people, middle-aged people, old people. We should tell them the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church I go to, and he's the foundation of it. We should tell people that he saved us. But not in a high-pressure way. Just an everyday, easy walk of life. Some people say, well, that's just pure old legalism, just obeying the ordinances. Then how come some Missionary Baptist church have so much trouble with it? How come some Missionary Baptist preachers are now starting to go for universal church? Because you can attract more members. You can attract more people. They don't have to make a commitment to do it God's way. We don't take the Lord's Supper the way we do because it makes us popular. We take it the way we do because that's what Jesus said. When Jesus was here, why did he make the temple desolate? Why did he say, I'm going to leave it desolate? Because they turned it into a den of thieves. They weren't worshiping God correctly. They weren't bringing the best of their sacrifices to his temple. The priests weren't teaching his word. They had turned it into a legalistic system. And yes, they had a lot of people go to synagogue. but they'd actually watered down the Word of God to where it could be kept, supposedly, in their own minds. He had abandoned it because they weren't worshiping correctly. That's why we put such tremendous emphasis in this church on worshiping God and observing the ordinances the way He said. It shows our faith in God. What is faith in God? Why, it's when you get saved. Well, that's true. But faith in God is also having faith that when He says something and tells us to do something, that we do it just exactly like He said. How many times have you told your kids, "That's not the way I told you to do that"? Why do we do that? Because we're older, more intelligent than they are. And there's nobody that's older than God, and there's nobody that's more intelligent than God. So be thankful that you know the truth. Be thankful that we worship God the way He wants to be worshiped. And be thankful that the preaching and the teaching in this church is directly from the Word of God. We don't have any artificial things in this church, at least not that I'm aware of. And I kept you over 5 minutes, but I had my fingers crossed. Brother Charles Trusty Sr. was...